Hello, I'm John O'Donnell, and I'm a Dynamics ISV Architect Evangelist with Microsoft. And today I've got the pleasure of sitting at the Syncom offices in Cincinnati with Rick and Jim. So Rick, could you just introduce yourself?
Hey, my name's Rick Wood. I'm a Channel Marketing Specialist for Syncom.
And Jim?
I'm Jim Wilson, Program Director for Syncom.
Okay. So guys, do you just want to talk a bit about how Syncom was founded, what the core business was, and where you are today?
Well, Syncom was founded in 1968. We just had our 40th anniversary. We're a Microsoft Gold Certified Partner, have been for over 10 years. And we are a global ISV.
Okay. And certainly, I remember the first time I walked into the Syncom offices and happened to see shots of Concorde all over the atrium.
Right.
And certainly, being a British guy, I was sort of curious, what's the story there?
Yeah, I was there. So what we did, John, is we actually rented the Concorde to celebrate our 20th anniversary, and we flew our customers from Europe.
So you actually flew your customers supersonic from Europe to Cincinnati.
The only time the Concorde's been in this city, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So why do we start and talk about about the product configurator tool? Why was that built out? And
yeah, I mean, again, Syncom's one of the oldest software companies, and really the company is founded on application development tools and technologies. As the market matured, companies wanted to buy packages. Where we're at today, there are a lot of really good application platforms. Certainly, Microsoft CRM we feel is a very good CRM platform. But what our technology focus is today is really filling the unmet needs or the gaps that remain on top of these application platforms.
Okay.
That specifically is what our technology does.
Yeah. So certainly, why Microsoft CRM?
Well, Microsoft CRM has a lot of attraction to us because, first of all, it's a Microsoft product. Number two is the package itself is very robust in terms of CRM functionality when you look at sales, service, and marketing. So it's a very robust application. The workflow and the Outlook integration,
right,
is really better than anything in the market.
But why would we take a step back and talk about, why build a product configurator tool?
Oh, right. Well, Microsoft's in the business of providing a CRM platform.
Okay.
And when you look at what makes a company unique, it's not just the applications that they run. It's the products and services they sell and how they sell them.
Right.
So really our technology focuses on that. How do we move the knowledge about your products and services closer to the customer to make it easier for them to buy?
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I was a customer maybe going to a store or even an online store and trying to decide what sort of product I want, and typically online stores today give you multiple choices depending on what sort of product you're looking at.
Right.
And your solution actually gets us to that point where you can actually say, okay, if you're going to buy a bike in red with, X size wheels, your system will let you build that up.
Right. Buying is all about choice, and everybody approaches buying from a different perspective. What's important to you may not be what's important to me. And that's why we have salespeople.
Okay.
And so really what our technology does is it moves the knowledge of your best salespeople close to the customer and offers choice. So it may be choices relative to the features and capabilities of your product, but it may be that the knowledge we're moving close to the customer is actually capturing and validating the requirements and recommending a specific product to them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, could you talk about some of the success stories? Because this isn't just about a system saying to you, you've got three choices. I think we've mentioned before, your system could have literally thousands of choices. So could you talk about some of the success stories behind it?
Sure. We have customers all over the world selling a wide variety of products and services, ranging in complexity, let's say, from a commercial fire truck. We have several fire truck manufacturers that use this technology. If you think about a fire truck, you've got almost 20,000 choices involved in specifying what the fire chief wants.
Okay.
That's a very complex system, if you will. Ranging to other customers that manufacture or sell what would appear to be simple products, but the complexity is hidden, such
right.
as something as simple as an industrial punch. It's not a very complex or very expensive product, but there's a lot of knowledge involved in coming up with the right configuration, pricing that, and making sure that you can take the order and it can be manufactured.
So when we do a demonstration of the product, you're not just going to be showing how the interface works for maybe a salesperson, but also how the rule system works as well, your business rule service as well.
Exactly. We have a mantra that when we walk into an account or a prospect or our partners do, we're looking for areas where the customer's chasing an expert.
Okay.
And so the idea here is to move that expert knowledge into our technology so that it can actually be moved closer to the customer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it was interesting that you did, when you approached integrating with CRM, you didn't you didn't just write directly to the SDK. You actually built, in effect, you built a wrapper around the SDK. So can we talk a bit about that?
Yeah, to the previous point, the whole idea here is our technology empowers your domain experts not just to be people who are involved in the sales process, but people who can automate that sales process. So when we look at the modeling environment, that's specifically what I'm going to show you, or the tools that those product managers or application engineers would use to create the apps. So part of the equation is we need to give them a tool set that is intuitive and easy to use without requiring IT developers.
Okay.
Obviously, Microsoft CRM has a great set of APIs. So what we did is essentially abstract those APIs to make them even more intuitive and easier to use for the domain experts to build these models.
Right. So it almost gets to a point where the level of development expertise is significantly reduced if people are writing to your APIs, which then talks to the Microsoft SDK.
Right. Right. In fact, when we first delivered the APIs, we actually handed them to one of our consultants who is not an IT guy. He's an engineer, a product engineer. And with very little trouble, he's able to build a very sophisticated application.
Excellent. And your solution, it's interesting because it's both in the cloud and on-premise. So in one scenario, a customer can actually host your particular servers actually on their own site, but in addition, they could also leverage they could actually leverage your services through the Syncom cloud.
Right. I think that's one of the attractions of the Microsoft CRM platform is it's all about choice, and so we wanted to make sure that we provided the same choices to run on-premise or on-demand.
Okay.
So just as you said, the application can run in the cloud, and what's really important is that it not only can run in the cloud, but if a customer chooses to move that on-premise, they do have that option. And in terms of the integration, what's important is that the investment that they've made in Microsoft CRM and the platform itself can be used to access also our data and the information that we're capturing.
Excellent. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, I've been working with Dynamics CRM since the V1 days, and obviously we've had a product database in the system from the very first version of the product. But I think what's interesting is that you take, in effect, you significantly extend out the capabilities of a product configuration tool so that it takes it beyond just, you know, simply selling, you know one box to one customer. You have a system now where pretty much you could pretty much take any product that's out there, even a car, for instance, and actually be able to work out what components are available depending on what on the choices you're making. And what we'll actually do next is we're going to transition to a demonstration of the product inside of CRM Online, which is interesting. But before we do that, Rick, you guys are actually going to be at Convergence this year?
Yeah, we will have a booth at Convergence, so we'll be there. Please feel free to stop by our booth. We've been at Convergence a couple years now, and really looking forward to introducing our new integration with AX as well as to CRM.
Excellent. So this isn't just a story for Dynamics CRM. You're also integrating into Dynamics AX 2009.
Correct.
Great stuff. Well, we look forward to seeing you guys there, and let's move over to the demonstration. Okay, so here we are inside of Microsoft Dynamics CRM Online. So Jim, do you just want to walk us through a demonstration of your product?
Right, let's just do a quick demonstration using the standard data that comes in the AdventureWorks bicycle demo. So as you can see here, John, we've got a list of opportunities. What I'm going to do is actually open up the Louisville Bicycle Company. And, of course, here's the opportunity. And when we look at the product view, we see now that we have a couple additional buttons that have been added into CRM Online. One is the ability to configure new opportunity products.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to select. So in this case, I get a list of those products which are not simple stock or standard products. These are products that are configured. So we're going to pick the bicycle. So a typical scenario for our customers is they may have thousands and thousands of potential products that they could sell. But what we're really doing is abstracting that huge range of products and services down to a very simple product choice, which is a family.
So first of all, you've taken us into a custom interface. So obviously we'll want to see how those interfaces are generated. So can you just talk to us about how this is working and how the configuration tool is actually delivering this?
Certainly. This is a user interface that was modeled in our modeling environment, which we'll look at in a minute.
And typically, there are two problems that we're trying to solve with one of these applications. Number one problem is a guided selling kind of, you know, what kind of recommendations or advice can we give to quickly arrive at a product spec that we think meets the customer's needs. And so that's what you see here on the first screen. So in this case, some of the questions that we might ask is, what type of bicycle, a road bike, a mountain bike, or a touring bike? And in this case, I'm going to select a mountain bike. You'll notice as we're making selections that some of the other choices or questions that one might ask are being constrained or limited down. And I'll show you those rules when we go through the modeling environment. In this case, I can have a silver or a black. I'm going to pick a frame size. Oftentimes, a customer might ask for a recommendation based on just a handful of choices such as these. And in this case, maybe they're not so concerned about price, but what they're looking for is a very light mountain bike.
Okay.
So with that, essentially our engine can make a recommendation, and what you see here is we've actually recommended the BKM 82B 42-inch.
Okay.
So this is the bike that we're recommending. Now, the beauty of this is that the customer can actually then pursue further choices and customize this bike. So if I click on the customize, what you see, of course, on the right panel is essentially the description of the bike, all the components and options that are on the bike that we've recommended. But again, now we've got a menu of other choices that are available. For example, if we look at frames, we might actually be able to actually select a handcrafted optimum diameter frame as an additional option. And as we make those choices, of course, it's changing and recalculating the price based on that selection, and it's noting those changes. So the ability to actually then customize the bicycle down at the specific feature component level is an option.
So this is really this is also generating a bill of materials.
Right. And if you're familiar with the AdventureWorks part data, if I click on the View Parts link, what you see here is we've popped up a window to show you what's happening behind this specification. For example, you can see that my frame choice is really being translated into a specific part number that's in the AdventureWorks database.
So, you've actually used your solution to read the Microsoft AdventureWorks cycle demo database.
Yeah, you might have noted that the standard bicycle is a lot cheaper than actually the same configuration in terms of building it by part.
Right.
I guess that's kind of like buying a car part by part. But
so why don't you show us a different type of product?
Great, let's do that. I'm going to go ahead and save this now.
Okay.
I'm going to close my configuration.
And before we actually go over to that, I think it's important to note that all the data that you're generating is actually being stored directly back into CRM.
That's correct, and that's a really key. It was a key design requirement for us, because what we want to do is allow this to be an on-demand solution, and we also wanted to make sure that the workflow tools and the reporting tools and everything else that you have in the CRM platform is available to our solution.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay, so let's look at the industrial damper.
All right, let's add another product. It may not make sense, but we'll go ahead and add an industrial damper. And I'll add this example simply because it shows a lot of the elements of what's involved in solving the problem. So here, instead of a separate dialogue, what you see is we have a few choices relative to the kind of dialogue that might go on between someone who's selling an industrial damper and the customer, such as, you know, what shape, you know, what's the velocity of the air flowing through it, is it in a corrosive environment or clean environment?
Okay.
And you'll notice, John, as I'm making my selections, for example, here as I select corrosive, you'll notice that various elements of the specification, such as the blade style, the material, and so forth, some of those are grayed out.
Right.
They're hidden. And the whole this is actually our rules engine, what we call constraint engine, making sure that all choices and the specification are valid. Now, with those choices, I can actually say, given what I've told you, recommend a configuration for me. So now, as you can see, based on the shape, the environment, and the velocity, we've actually recommended a configuration, and it made the choices for us based on rules.
Okay.
So this is what we would call guided selling rules. And you can see now that's actually priced that out. Now, the blade style, seals, material, actuators, and so forth, these describe what the customer's buying in terms that are friendly. If we look at what's going on behind the scenes, what we have to do is translate that into something that can be digested into a system like Xapta. And what you see here, then, is what's being configured on the back end, which actually, in this case, would be the bill of material and the specific item numbers.
So I think it's compelling in that you're not only providing a rules engine, but you're also providing an interface builder to deliver these screens. So maybe what we can look at next is, before we actually look at the product, the rules engine itself, let's look at how the interface builder works.
Yeah, great. what I'm going to do is I'm just going to switch gears, and what I'm doing now is I've opened up the modeling environment. And this is the actual environment that would be used by your product managers or engineers. These are your domain experts, people responsible for these products. And this happens to be a knowledge base that I use for standard demonstrations. Well, you'll notice in here I have a folder that contains two models. One is our bicycle, and another model is the damper that we just looked at. Let's take the damper, since we were just in there and Johnny had asked a question about the user interface. You can see we have a very simple, intuitive interface with classes of objects. One of those classes of objects is the user interface. So we see here we have a dialog called main. I'm going to open that up. And what you see here is essentially the dialog that we saw when we actually executed the model. And the way that the user interface is created, again, these are not technical developers, is you simply reach into the category of user selections or questions, and you drag those over, and you drop them into the dialog.
Okay.
So building the UI is that simple.
Excellent.
If we actually went back, though, and we looked at this application, one of the things that I mentioned earlier is the rules that are behind the user interface.
Right.
You know, constraint rules such as these are very, very difficult to actually program in a traditional programming environment. So what we provide to enable a domain expert to do that sophisticated logic are what we call relationship rules. So if I go down here and I open up my list of relationship rules, I'll show you how these rules are created. Again, the same way that we created the user interface by dragging and dropping selections into a user interface, we do the same thing when we create rules relative to relationships.
So you're pretty much modeling product expertise inside of this system.
Exactly. So here we see a rule that actually validates based on the type of actuator, whether it's electric, pneumatic, or manual, and based on the operation, it's just saying, is this a valid combination or not? So I look at another simple little rule, again, dealing with the type of actuator, electric, pneumatic, or manual. But in this case, it's defining the rule regarding the relationship between the power supply and the type of actuator.
Right.
And what that does is that gives us the behavior when we run the model. And by the way, the domain expert is able to build these applications and then dynamically test them.
Okay.
So in this case, again, I'll just make a couple selections. And you'll notice down here we have the rules firing. So if I select electric, then double acting is not a valid operation and the power supply is also constrained.
Right.
Similarly, if I actually made a selection such as a manual actuator, you can see now that I have additional power supplies available. So those are those two rules essentially firing in concert.
And it's also important to mention that the rules actually fire from both left to right and right to left.
Exactly. It's what we call bidirectional constraints.
Okay.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll mention is that rules not only apply to the relationships between selections and the user interface or questions that one might ask, but rules also are applied to the configuration of the components. Remember when we actually generated the damper, I opened up the bill of material and showed you that. Here's how we would model the bill of material. So in this case, rather than dragging selections into a user interface or into these relationship rules, what we're doing is we're saying, generically, this product is comprised of frame, blades, blade seals, axles, and so forth. And we have a class of objects called components, which we drag and we drop within that structure.
Okay.
And this is how we build up our generic product structure. And within that, we define what are the choices that are available within that configuration.
Okay.
And again, as you saw, the graphical rules, in this case, what we're doing is actually selecting one of the components in the configuration based on the same type of graphical rules.
So the end result is, after the users have been driven through the, you know, through the interface, they've chosen the product, etc., the end result is that data gets fed back into CRM as if it existed there in the first place.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, thanks for taking the time to demonstrate this to us. That was a great demonstration.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Jim, thanks for taking us through a demonstration of your product configuration tool inside of CRM Online. And I will actually put the URL to the product information actually on the link for this video. So, finally, Rick, can you tell us where you're going to be at Convergence again?
Yeah, we'll be at booth 300, so feel free to come by and see us at any time.
And then lastly, can you tell us, you know, how do you actually go to market with this product?
Well, we sell exclusively through Microsoft partners. We help them drive the demand, we help them meet the demand, and we train them and we support them throughout the cycle.
Excellent. Well, guys, thanks for talking to us today and look forward to seeing you at Convergence.